Meseches Kinim is a fairly short but complicated mesechta, and it focuses on the bringing of a specific type or types of karbanos to the Beis HaMikdash, and those are bird offerings. There are actually only two types, very limited. One is a chatas, and one is an ola. Chatas and ola, so the chatas is called the chatas of, and the ola offering is called the ola sa'of, of meaning bird. So those are the two bird offerings that are brought. When bringing these bird offerings, it could not be brought from a large variety of birds. There were actually only two types of birds that could be brought. One is the torim, which is turtle doves, and the second one is the bnei yona, which are young pigeons. And it's very interesting to note that these bird offerings on a high level can be brought because there's a chova, there's an obligation, or it can be brought because somebody wants to. It's a voluntary offering, but there are fundamental differences between them. If somebody wants to bring a bird offering voluntarily, not a chova, it has to be brought as a korban ola. There is no concept of bringing a chatas voluntarily. Chatas is when somebody sins, you have to bring that as an obligation, a korban chatas. So if somebody wants to bring an offering of birds and it wants to be brought voluntarily, it has to be by definition an ola and not a chatas. When there is an obligation to bring a bird offering, so it's actually brought in pairs of two called a ken. So when we see throughout the Masechta a ken means a pair of bird offerings, two birds, one offering, two birds, and one is a chatas and one is an ola. So a ken always comes together when there's an obligation. It comes as a pair of birds, one a chatas and one an ola, and hence the name of our Masechta is kinim, that is the plural tense of ken. So that is our Masechta kinim. And we will be seeing the language of ken throughout, but it's important to bear in mind that a ken is when there are two birds that are being brought, and if it's an obligation to be brought, one is going to be a chatas, and one is going to be an ola. When it comes to obligatory offerings of birds, these are brought by various people, and just for example, if there is a woman who is a yoleda, she has given birth, and that's all she can afford, she is going to bring a bird offering that is going to be a chovan obligation. Accordingly, as we said, that she's going to have to bring a ken, which means two birds, one is an ola, one is an achata. Sometimes a zav or a zava will also bring, when they're becoming tahor, if there's a time that a nazir will bring, a metzora will bring. So these are the various individuals that will be obligated to bring a bird offering that is going to be a chova, that is going to be obligatory. We're going to start off, obviously, with the first parak, Mishnah Aleph, and before we get to that, just a major concept. Actually, the major concept that we're going to see throughout the Masechta we'll be talking about is when there are mixtures of bird offerings, tarovis. So what happens, for example, if you have a chova, so you have your pair of birds, and it gets mixed in with an ola that you have designated to bring as a voluntary offering. Or if we have a person, Yoledes, and she's also a Zava, so she has to bring two kinim, she has to bring two sets, and they get mixed together. Or what happens if we have two women, and one is obligated to bring the same amount or different amounts of kinim, and they get mixed together? What's going to happen? Because when we're talking about a ken, each one is made up of two components. One is a chatas and one is an ola. So we will get into all the complexities of this throughout our Masechta. We are now going to start off with Mishnah Aleph giving some fundamental background as it pertains to a chatas sa'of and an ola sa'of. And what we're going to see in this, and we actually saw it in much more detail in Maseches Vachim, is that there is a fundamental difference between an ola sa'of and a chatas sa'of, is where the zrika is applied. When the zrika is done, the blood is applied to the mizbeach. When it comes to an ola sa'of, the zrika is done above the midpoint of the mizbeach. The midpoint of the mizbeach is called the chut ha-sikra. That was a red line that went around the mizbeach to symbolize, to show everyone that if you have a zrika that has to be done above, it has to be done above that chut ha-sikra. So the ola sa'of has to be done, the zrika has to be done above that line and the chatzasof has to be below that line. And accordingly, if we don't know if a given bird is a chatzas or ola, it is going to be invalid. There's nothing we can do with it, with that bird, because it's puzzle. If you have something that has to be zrika, be done above the line, and it's done below the line, that is puzzle. And the same with the reverse. So that's why we're going to start out with this Mishnah, talking about some of the fundamentals of an olasof and a chatasof. And this is critical in understanding why having a tarovis of them indeed will disqualify those birds. So Mishnah Aleph says as follows, chatasof na'asis lemata. When we have a chatasof, the zrika is done below the chutasikra, and now we just have a parenthetical talking about fachatas behemoth. If we have a korban chatas brought of an animal, not a bird, that is going to be the reverse. That is going to be lamala. The zrika is going to be above the chutasikra. But we can put that aside. Our focus is on the chatas of nasis lamata, the first words there. And we have a chatas of, the zrika has to be done below the chutasikra. And then skip the next few words for now. And the olas of nasis lamala, when it comes to the olas of, that is going to be done above. The zrika is going to be done above the chutasikra. Now, again, a parenthetical, if you have a korban ola, that's a behema, a olas behema, that is going to be lamata, that is going to be below. So what we see here is when it comes to the chatas of, the zrika is below. The olas of, it's going to be above. But when it comes to the behemas, it's the reverse of those. Now we are continuing. Why is this so critical to know? Im shina bazeh ubazeh pasul. Because if you have a chatas of, that is supposed to be done above, and you have an olasov that's supposed to be done below, and you change it, and you do what's supposed to be above, below, and below, above, that is going to be invalid. That's going to be totally puzzle, and accordingly, that is going to be the crux of when we have mixtures, when we have tarovis of various kinim, that is going to cause a problem. Seder kinim kahu, now, as we talked about in the introduction, when you're talking about kinim, bringing bird offerings, hachova, echad chatas ve'echad ola. If somebody is obligated to bring a chova, an obligatory bird offering, there are going to be two birds, two components. One is a chatas, and one is an ola. That is what is called the chova, bird offering. That is a chova again. That consists of a ken. A ken consists of two bird offerings, two birds, one offering, two birds. One is a chatas, one is an ola. On the other hand, if somebody wants to bring it voluntarily, it's not a chova. When it comes to an edarim and a davos, those are two different forms of voluntary offerings. We'll explain the difference between a neder and a dava shortly. Kulan olos, an offering that is voluntarily brought from a bird, it can only bring a be brought as a korban ola. It cannot be brought as a korban chatas. A chatas is obligatory, cannot be brought voluntarily. And now we're going to distinguish what is a neder and what is a nadava, and what is the halachic difference whether I bring a neder or a nadava. They're both voluntary offerings, so what should it matter? So ezuhu neder, what is a neder? Ha'omer, this is how you commit yourself to bring an offering that is a neder. This is a voluntary burnt offering. Hare alai ola, it is upon me, it is incumbent upon me to bring a korban ola. This is making something obligatory on the individual. It is not designating a specific bird that he's obligated to bring, and if that bird is no longer, if it dies, if it runs away, then he has no longer an obligation. This is a person that's saying, this is a neder, hare alai ola, it is incumbent upon me to bring an ola, and even if I had a flock and they all die, I have personal responsibility and liability. So this is what we would call an obligation on the gavra, the individual, the person is obligated. He has personal liability to bring that olas ha'of. On the other hand, ve'ezuhu nedava, what is a nedava? It's also a voluntary offering. Ha'omer ha'rei zola. This is when he says, this bird, he's only limiting it to a specific bird, this is going to be my olas ha'of. This is going to be the bird that I am going to bring to fulfill my obligation. So what's the difference between them? That's what the Mishnah says. What's the difference between a neder, if I have personal liability, and a nedava that is focused on the item itself? That's called the chefza. It's focused on the item itself, not the gavra. There's no personal liability. Ela shehanedarim, when it comes to a neder, a nedarim, meso nigdavu chayavim b'achriyusan. If that bird that you had in mind, I was going to bring these, or my flock, it doesn't matter. If they die, if they're stolen, it doesn't get you out of the responsibility, liability, of having to bring that bird. You are still responsible because the obligation is upon you, upon the gravra. The language was hare alai alo ola. The obligation is upon me. It's not limited to specific bird or birds. On the other hand, unedavos, if the person made a nedava when he said hare zola, this specific bird or from these birds, this is going to be an ola. Mesu anigdavu ein chayavim b'achriyus, and if they die, if it dies, if it's stolen, then there's no personal liability. There is no longer a responsibility of that individual to bring that korban because that bird is no longer, and once that bird is no longer, there's no longer responsibility because it's a nedava. There is no personal liability. It's limited to the bird or birds that were designated. Mishnah Bei starts talking about when we have various bird offerings and they get mixed together, and that is when the problems begin, because if we don't know which is the chatas and which is the ola, we don't know which has the zrika above the chuta sikra and which one has the zrika below the chuta sikra. So Mishnah Bei says as follows, chata shenis arva be'ola, if we have a designated bird, it has been designated as a chatas. And just to take a step back from that, when somebody has an obligation to bring a ken, for example, a yoledis, a zava, zava has to bring a ken, which means two birds, that individual, that owner of that korban, can designate which bird is going to be the ola and which is the chatas, and brings it to the kohen and says, this is going to be my chatas, this is going to be my ola. Or that person doesn't have to designate which bird is going to be used for what, but rather, this is called a ken stuma, which is, these are two birds, they're undesignated, and the owner of that korban leaves it up to the kohen when he is bringing those birds to designate which one is going to be used as the chatas and which is going to be used as the ola. So we have a chatas shenirs arva be'ola. We have a chatas, a designated bird. It was designated as a chatas and got mixed together with an ola, a bird that was designated for use as an ola, or the reverse, ve'ola be'chatas. Doesn't matter. One got mixed with the other. One was originally an ola, one was a chatas, afilo echa beribo. And the situation is, even if one got mixed in with the other type, a significant amount of them. So for example, I had one bird chatas and 10,000 birds of ola, or the reverse, it doesn't matter, yamusu kulam, all of them have to be left to die. In other words, we have no use for them once we have this mixture, because we're always concerned, I can always choose a bird, and that bird may be the chatas, and maybe the ola, everything is mixed together, and we can't tell, and I may be offering it in the wrong place, I may be doing the zrika above, it should be below, below, or above, and as the Bar Tanura explains, v'la batle beruba, when we have a situation of this, we have animals, we don't say that it's batel berov, that we go by majority, because an animal is a davar chashuv, it's something that's significant, that's not batel no matter what. Even you have to have 10,000 of the other type, there is never going to be a bittel, a nullification on the other type. So that's the situation here when we have a mixture of a chatas and a lot of olas, we have an ola and a lot of chataos, it doesn't matter, there's no bittel, and accordingly they all have to be let to die. And next situation, if we have a chatas shenis arva bechov, if we have an animal that's been bird that's been designated as a korban chatas and it got mixed in with a chova. Now this phrase chova is going to come up over and over again, and what it means is that it's a ken. We have somebody who is obligated to bring a ken, that means two birds, and one is going to be designated as a chatas and ola, but it has not been designated yet, so it is satum, it's a ken stuma, it is undesignated. So we have one animal, one bird that's been designated as a chatas, and it falls into a chova, which means two other birds, but they have not been designated yet, which one will be a chatas and which one will be an ola. Ein kasher ela kaminyan chatal shebechova. This is going to be a little bit complicated, but we do in this situation have a use of the bird. Because we have a chatas, it fell into a ken that is satum. And eventually, one of those birds will be designated as a chatas, and one will be designated as an ola, but it hasn't been designated yet. So what I can do here, when we have these three birds mixed together, is I know that it was a designated chatas that fell into two others. I am allowed to take one of the birds and I am allowed to use it as the type of bird that was designated. So if it's a chatas that fell into two others, I can take one of those three birds and use it as a chatas. I cannot take any of the birds and use it as an ola, because maybe I would be taking out the bird that had been designated as a chatas and using it for an ola. So I'm only permitted to take out the type that had fallen in that was a designated. So here we have a designated chatas, fell into two others. I can take one bird as a chatas, but not two birds as chataos. Why can't I take two as chataos? Because the case is as follows, that somebody had a chova there, same person. Let's say the same person. That person had one designated chatas and a kanstuma. And accordingly, if you would take two as chataos, it could very well be that the two that he's taking were the two that were from the kanstuma. And accordingly, one is supposed to be a chatas and one an ola. So I cannot take, using from those three combined birds, two as chatos, because maybe one that I'm taking was going to be used as an ola. So I am capped out accordingly, as I look only at the number of birds that were part of the chova, and I can use half of them. Here in this situation, it's one. The chova had two birds. I can use one of them, but I can only use it as the type of offering that was of the bird that was designated. So here's going to be the chatas. Chatas was designated. It falls into two others. There was a kanstuma. I have a total of three here. I can use one, and that one I have to use as a korban chatas. And throughout, as we're going to see here, whether that designated bird that was a chatas in this situation fell into one ken or two kens or three kens or four, because kinim, it doesn't matter. I'm always going to look at the number of birds in the chova. Those are the kenstuma. And I'm going to say, how many do I have total? For example, if that one designated chatas fell into four kinim that were stumos, so that's four kinim that's stumos, that's eight birds. I can take half of them, that's four, and use it as a chatas. It's going to be the same situation. If it fell into five kinim stuma, if that's the situation, so I have 10 birds that one designated chatas fell into, I can take five of them and use it as a chatas, but I cannot use any of them as an ola, because we know that the chatas, the designated chatas, fell in, and I'm risking then taking, using something as an ola that was really designated as a chatas, and that would be pasul. So, ein kasher ela kaminan achatos shebechova. What they're saying is, what I can use is the birds. When I look at the kinim that designated bird fell into, I'm going to look at that, and I'm going to only be able to use the number of birds that would have been chataos in those that korban chova. And that's going to be, if I have only one ken stuma that one chatas fell into, so that's all going to be only one bird that I can take out and use as a chatas. If we had kiminyan chatas shebechova, if we had two kinim, so that it failed, that were not designated yet, so it's a total of four birds, I'm going to be able to take out two of them and use them as chatas. The same thing is going to apply if I had not a designated chatas, but I had the designated ola to start with, and that designated ola fell into a chova, that means into a ken stuma that hasn't been designated yet. Ein kasha lekaminan ola shebechova. What I'm going to do is the same thing. I'm going to look at the chova birds, and then I'm going to say half of them, because that's half would be used as olas, and I can only use that as ola. I can't, because in this situation, when I had a designated ola fall into a chova or many chovos, in this situation, I can only use the birds as an ola, because whatever I take, maybe it was the designated ola, and also I'm capped at using half of the birds of the chova birds that were there that were stumas when I started. Bein shachova meruba va'anedava muetis. This applies whether when I have this mixture that happens, whether the chova, that means the kinim stumas, where there were a lot of them. I had 10,000 kinim stumas that were undesignated yet, as which was of the pairs is going to be a chatas and an ola. So I have 10,000, 1,000 pairs of kinim stumas. So there are a lot of those. And vanadava muetis, and the nadava meaning the ola that fell in is very little. So I had one ola fall into a lot of kinim, or the reverse, main sha nadava meruva vachova muetis, or that the nadava meaning the korban designated korban ola, there were a lot of those and it fell into very few chovas, meaning for example, only one chova. So I had one ken stuma that a lot of designated olos fell into. In all of these situations, and bein shesteim shavos, or if they're equal, the designated ola fell into the same amount of kinim. It doesn't matter. It's all going to be the same situation. What we're going to have to do is look at the undesignated birds, that's the kinim stumos, and we're going to look at half of them, and we're going to be able to use half of them for korban ola, as korbanos ola, but I can't use any of them for korban chatas, and also I cannot exceed using half of them, because if I exceed using half of the undesignated birds, then I am risking taking one of the birds that otherwise would have been used as a chatas. So that's the reason why we are always capped at half of the amount of the birds that were in the chova undesignated kinim stumos. Mishnah Gimel continues and clarifies and qualifies something very important from the prior Mishnah b'medavar marmurim. What are we talking about in Mishnah Beis? Bechova un vinedava. What we're talking about is when you have a chova, talking about a ken stuma, that is a pair brought by somebody, and that individual did not designate which of the birds would be an ola and which would be a chatas, and a nedava and an ola, designated ola, fell into that chova. That is what we are talking about, that in that situation, we're going to look at the total number of birds that were in the chova classification, in the chova category, and we're going to take half of the chova amount and be able to use that as the type of offering of the nedava here, the ola that fell in. That is what we were talking about in the prior Mishnah. However, what happens if you don't have a designated bird already that falls into a chova, but you only have chovos, you only have kinim that have not been designated yet, pairs of kinim that are obligatory, that the individual, the owner bringing them, has not yet designated in those pairs, which is going to be for a chatas and ola, and it combined with one or more other chovos. That is now what we are going to talk about in this Mishnah. If you have chovos that fall together, we're not talking about an edava and chova that combine, but a chova and a chova that combine, or many chovos that combine together, this is going to be the test. This is what we're going to have to do, and we're going to divide up the Mishnah between when the chovos are going to be equal. In other words, you had one person and equal amounts fell together and got combined, a taroves, a combination, a mixture between the two of them. So equal amounts, each of them had two, each of them had four, each of them had six. That is what we're going to cover now in the reisha of this Mishnah. And then we're going to cover in the seifa of the Mishnah, how about if different amounts fell in from the different owners of the kinim. So here we go as follows. If we have chovos that fell together, achas lezo, achas lezo, one person had one, that means one pair, that's two birds in a pair, so one ken from one person, vachas lezo, and one ken from another person, shtayim lezo, if we had one person had two, and the other person had another two, that means when we're talking about two for one person and two and another person, each of those has two birds in it. So when somebody has two, that's really four birds, and the other person has two, that's four birds, a combination of eight birds together. No, shalash lezo, vashalash lezo, or this one has three sets, and the other one has three sets, then they got mixed together. What do you have to do? This is going to be a little bit cryptic, so we'll read the Bar Tanura after reading it in the Mishnah. Mechsa kasher, to mechsa pasul. Half is going to be kosher, usable, and the other half is going to be invalid, disqualified, and have to be let to die. Now let's look in the Bar Tanura to understand what is going on here when we have this mixture of equal amounts. Mechsa kasher, mechsa pasul, umakriv meharba hameuravim. Shnayim bilvad. When we have a combination, and we're assuming the first situation that one person had one and another person had one, which means each of them had two birds, each of them had one ken, so that's a total of four birds. They are combined together, so of the combination, we're going to only be able to use two, a total of two out of the four. Echad the olav, echad the chatas v'liyosa. We're going to use two, and that's why we say mechsa kasher. Two can be used, though mechsa possible. Two cannot be used when we're talking about a combination of four birds together. And when we're taking two that can be used, one is going to be used in ola, and one is going to be used as a chatas, but not more. Why not? The avid shtei olos shema yase osam yikenecha. Because if we make two olos, the concern here is that each of the people who have their birds mixed together, each of them had two birds. One, although they didn't designate it, but it was going to be designated as an ola, and one as a chatas, and the other person had one that was to be designated as an ola as a chatas. And the concern here is that if we take from the four combination two olos, or two chatas, but let's focus on two olos, the problem is that if we take two olos from the same person, that doesn't work, because when a person has two birds, even though they're not designated, but one is to be an ola, one is to be a chatas, and accordingly, if we take two and use them for olo, same would be if we take them for chataos, that's going to create a problem, because if it turned out that that was from the same person, that person can't have two olos taken from their two birds. Accordingly, we are only allowed to use half of the combination, and what we do with that half of the combination is that half of the combination is used for an ola and half is used as a chatas. So let's just run another example. We just did one pair for each. Let's do two pairs for each. So each person has two pairs, which is each one having four birds. Four birds for one person, four birds for another person. We combine it together, it's eight. So we're only allowed to use half of that total. That is four birds. And of those birds, half of them, two, is going to be, two of them are going to be used as olos, and two of them are going to be used as chataos. All of that is talking about when we had a chova and a chova, or multiple chovas combined together. Now we're going to talk about, how about if the same thing happened, chova and chova, but different amounts from each person. So it's going to be fairly similar. Achas lazo, shayim lazo, v'shalosh lazo. If one person had one pair and another one had two pairs or three pairs or similarly or the same, v'esher lazo, me'ah lazo. If one had 10 and one had 100, all of that is going to be treated the same. Hamu'at kasha. What you have to look at is who has the least in. Who has the least in? So here in the situation, if one person had one and the other person had two or three, so the person who had one set, that's the least. Or if you have 10 and 100, the person who has 10 in, that is going to be the least. And what we're going to do is we're going to take those birds, the least in, and we are going to divide it. Half of the birds are going to be used as an ola, half is going to be used as a chata. So it would come out actually is very just like or the same as the reisha. Then we'll just walk through that now. If somebody had one and another person had two or three, so we're going to use the one. That one is a pair, so one of the birds is going to be used as a chatas and one is going to be used as an ola. If we're talking about 10 and 100, the least denominator is going to be the 10. That's 10. It's actually 20 birds. So we're going to be able to use 10 of those birds for an ola and 10 of those birds for a chata. So that is actually the same as the ratio when we talked about this, the equal amounts in. We just talked about it in a different way that we're going to look at the entire combination together. And of the entire combination of the two people, we're going to use half of it. Here, we're just saying what is the lowest denominator, who had the least in, and we're going to be able to use all of it, but we're going to divide it in half. Half is going to be for ola, and half is going to be for chataos. And now we're going to say something cryptic, which we will define in the next Mishnah. All of this applies that we're going to look and use these rules. And the key rule here is hamuat kasha. We're going to use the lowest number. The person who had the least in, we're going to take those birds and be able to use half of them for an ola and half of them for chatas. Bein mishemecha. All of this applies whether there is one type of obligation. That means, for example, a yoledes and a yoledes, so the chover for a yoledes and the chover for another yoledes, they got mitzvahs together, or ben mishnei shemos, or if there are two different types of obligations. One ken was for a yoledes, and another ken was for a zava, for example. Ben mish achas, ben mishnei nashim, and all of this is also going to apply, the same rule is going to apply, whether it's one woman or man, but it's typically a woman, because there are more times a woman brings the kinim than a man, because it's a yoledes and a zava and the like. But ben mish achas, ben mishnei nashim, it applies whether it's one woman who had multiple chovos, or multiple women, two women, three women, four women, who also had multiple chovas. It doesn't matter. The rules are going to apply in Amir Tashem. We'll see that in the next Mishnah. Mishnah Dalet comes to explain the cryptic sentence at the end of the prior Mishnah, and first it will explain what that means when we have the same obligation, so two kinim or more for the same obligation, and thereafter it will explain what it means that we have kinim from different obligations, and thereafter it will talk about when we have multiple women or owners of the korbanos bringing them, and it will apply that concept as well, multiple owners bringing from the same obligation, and multiple owners, two women, for example, three women bringing different obligations. So Mishnah Dalet says as follows, what does it mean, Ketzon Mishem Echad? What does it mean when the same obligation is being brought? So for example, Leida V'Leida, Ziva V'Ziva Mishem Echad. An example will be that there's a woman, we'll say one woman, and it talking about when she gave birth, and accordingly she has to bring one pair of kinim, one ken, which is two birds, and then she had another birth. She never brought the first one, and then she had another birth, and she has an obligation to bring another ken, another set of birds. So she has the same obligation, and yes, she has to bring two sets of kinim, or the same would be ziva v'ziva. A woman who saw a ziva has to bring a ken, and then another ziva has to bring a ken. So those are all two birds, two sets that have to be brought, but it's the same type of obligation. Either she's a Yoledis twice or she has a Ziva twice. Or Mishnei Shemos will be an example of somebody who has to bring two kinim of two different obligations. An example would be Leida V'Ziva, a woman who is a Yoledis, so she has to bring one ken for being a Yoledis, and also she saw Ziva, and accordingly she has to bring another ken. So here we have the same woman with two obligations from two different obligations, two separate obligations. One is from Leid and one is Ziva. And now continuing our explanation of the end of the prior Mishnah, Ketzad Shteinasim, what does it mean when we have two women and their separate kinim got mixed together? Al-Zoleida, so we can have two women who have the same obligation. One is a Yoledis, the other is a Yoledis, and their kinim got mixed together. Al-Zoziva, Val-Zoziva. Another example would be that one is a Ziva and one is a Zima, Mishem Echad. So these are two separate women now who have the same obligation. Or we can also have an example of two separate women that have two separate obligations. Mishnei Shemos, what would be an example of that? Two different obligations, Al-Zoleida, Val-Zoziva. So one woman has an obligation to bring a ken because she is a Yoledis, and one has an obligation to bring a ken because she is a Ziva. That means she is a Zava, she saw Ziva, and in both of those, in all of these instances, the same thing is going to apply. That's what we saw in the prior Mishnah. In all these situations, when their chovos got mixed together, be it the same woman, she has the same obligation, two of the same obligations, or two different obligations, or different women that have the same obligations, or different women that have different obligations. All of those situations, the rules of the prior Mishnah are going to apply. Hamuat kasha. What you're going to always look at is who has the least in of the chova, and whoever has the least in, you're going to be able to, of the combination, use that number of birds. Half of them are going to be used for chataos, and half of them are going to be used for olos. That's the situation. Rabbi Yossi Omer, he says, Rabbi Yossi teaches us that there is a time that we're not going to have to worry about all of these rules, and that is a situation where the women did not buy their own kinim and keep them separately. We have all of these issues and problems because one woman designated her ken. These are going to be my two birds, and another woman, or the same woman designated two birds as her another ken. And then they got mixed together, so we have to be very careful that we have to not exceed the number of allowable olos or chataos that one of the women could bring. That's the concept that we've seen over and over again. But how about if two women pool their money together and buy, for example, two kinim together, so four birds together, and they never designated from the beginning which two is going to go to which woman, and the other two are going to go to the other woman. So they pooled their money together, they bought the birds together, never designating who was taking which bird, or they gave their pooled money to the Kohen and said, Kohen, here is enough money for four birds, we haven't designated what, and you decide. And Rabbi Yossi in specific is talking about where they had an agreement in advance, we're not designating whose bird is going to whom, we're simply going to buy it together, and we'll let the Kohen decide which bird is going to go for whom, and which bird is going to be an ola, and which bird is going to be a chata. So Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shtei Nashim Shalachu Kineim Be'eruv. If we have two women and they brought their kineim together with pooled money, they never designated who was going to take which bird, or Shanasnu Demei Kineim the coin, or they gave their money, their pooled money, to the Kohen together. Le'ezah Sheyirtz HaKohen Yakriv Chata, so Le'ezah Sheyirtz HaKohen Yakriv Ola. The coin is able to choose. He's got four birds, or multiple, more than that. But the concept here is it was pooled money, and none of the birds was designated to either of the people obligated to bring it. It's up to the coin, and the bottom line is, for example, when two kinim are being brought, two women, each a ken, each is two birds. Cohen, you decide, he has to designate which bird is going to go to which woman, and which is going to use for a chatas and which is an ola. That's his responsibility. He's going to designate them, and that is fine. And you can use all of the birds in this situation, ben mishem echad, ben mishnei shemos, whether they have one obligation, the same type of obligation, two types of obligations, it doesn't matter because it's pooled money together and nothing was designated in advance. All of the birds in this situation can be used and will simply be designated by the Kohen as stipulated in advance by the woman when they pulled their money together.